Thank you very much for tuning in and spending your early morning, late night with me here. I'm Dave Schrader, sitting in for George Norrie. I'll be back again with you tomorrow night. We'll be discussing the upcoming Exorcism Live show that'll be airing next Friday, the 30th, on Destination America, talking about a live exorcism on TV, something that they have not done ever in history. They are now going to prepare. Is it safe? Is it something that we should watch? And what have the cast and crew done to prepare themselves for this? We'll talk to Chip Coffey, the psychic and medium involved in the investigation, and Christopher St. Booth, one of the documentarians and filmmakers involved in the original exploration of the Exorcist House in St. Louis, Missouri. So we'll be doing that tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM. And I'm back with you Halloween. That's right, I'll be here for Halloween night, and you can share 4 hours with me. We're going to explore strange and scary stories, communicating with the dead, raising hell, and more. That's on Halloween night. And if you're still looking for something fun to do that night, I'm hosting a special edition, Darkness Radio, usually on 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight central. We'll be also adding one more show next week, Saturday, Halloween night, from 9 p.m. till midnight. We'll be doing our Halloween for Hunger show. We'll have some great stories, creepy tales to share, and then we'll roll right over into Coast to Coast AM. So 7 hours of Halloween programming with me. So I hope that you'll join in, and you can check out for more information at coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com. We're taking your phone calls this evening, and if you'd rather email me because you can't get through, email me at dave@darknessradio.com. Some interesting news. Earlier today, I had many listeners reaching out to me looking for prayer and intention and energy workers. Because Hurricane Patricia was bearing down on Mexico. It had become the strongest hurricane ever recorded. And they were expecting catastrophic landfall. And we put out a prayer and healing request, intention work. We did that earlier today, and I am happy to report that according to the newer reports, it's already been downgraded to a level 2, which is category 2. Still very dangerous. Potential floods and mudslides, but to have come down from the largest and most dangerous they'd ever seen to a hurricane too, that is certainly good. Keep the positive thoughts and energy going, and just mentally imagine that storm just breaking up, and hopefully the people of Mexico and the surrounding states in the United States that were going to be affected by this will only get a minimal amount of damage and nasty weather. So just keep putting that intention out there. I know that when we all come together for a unique cause like this, changes can happen. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, east of the Rockies, John in Buffalo, New York, you're finally up. We've got the Wild Card Don, Wild Card Mike, and west of the Rockies, Paul, next on Coast to Coast AM. All right, we're back. Coast to Coast AM, the best in overnight talk radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. And up next, east of the Rockies, John, Buffalo, New York, you're on the air.
Hello there. How you doing, Dave?
Good, John. Thanks a lot for calling and staying up late with us. What's your story for us this evening?
Okay, well, ever since I was a little boy, I'm 33 years old now, I have been communicating with spirits in multiple different ways. Started off, I lived in a little country home and lived on about 21 and a half acres of land with my mom and stepdad. And we experienced a lot of different things there at the property. My first interaction was with my stepdad's father, who passed away. I actually heard his Zippo lighter in the house. He died of lung cancer, and his spirit was still there. And I was 8 years old, and that really opened up my eyes to the spiritual world. Now, ever since then...
Well, did that frighten you?
At the time, yes, it did. It was tough because of my mom, seen and heard a lot of different things. And my stepdad didn't really want to believe anything was happening. Different scents were around the house too, as well, that they couldn't explain. You know, it became a point where I started getting used to it because I started hearing a lot of different voices and things around the house. There's a spirit who was looking for Joel. He kept yelling Joel all the way across the land. And fast forward, you know, like 20 years later, when the invention of Google and smartphones and everything came out, I actually did some research on that little country land, and the caretaker's name was actually Joel. So right then and there, I knew from there on out that EVPs and different things were you know, actually true and spiritualism and things. So I dived into EVPs and ghost hunting and things. I went on to kind of carry over the spiritual world, and I came really, I got really into this, and I started diving into white magic, black magic, different spells and things. I wanted to see if I could not communicate with spirits. And it got so intense to where I would just go out to like random cemeteries. I would lay down right on top of like in the cemetery to communicate with different spirits. I would take photos. I would get some miraculous photos. I wish I could share them to the public, but unfortunately my digital camera got wiped numerous times. There's been a lot of different things that has happened. Now, I do have in Buffalo about 7 people that have witnessed a lot of different things with me whenever I went ghost hunting, and all 7 of those people will not talk to me anymore because they think something was following me. Well, fast forward a little bit after that, I actually talked to a psychic. I didn't know anything about this. I was at work, and the lady walked in, and she's like, "Sweetheart," she goes, "Norm says hi," and I'm like, "Norm," and I'm like, "Well, what do you mean?" And I go, "Are you referring to?" She says, "Well, he's sorry that he couldn't go fishing with you," and I was like, "Wait, are you referring to my grandpa?" She says, "Yes, he's here with you right now," and I was like, "Really?" And then that's when I knew that something was really there and protecting me, following me as well. Now, my grandpa passed away when I was in 8th grade. Now, she told me that some other dark entity is actually following me too. And she said that I need to follow through with a psychic. Now, after all this went down, I myself personally dived into automatic handwriting. Now, this is the next step that I have dived into. I discovered my ability one night when my ex-girlfriend and I were laying down next to each other, and I was almost asleep, and my girlfriend at the time, she said, "You know, hey, John," she's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she's like, you were like writing something on your chest." I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she was like, "Nothing. Must be nothing, right?" So literally the next day, I looked it up online, and sure enough, it said automatic handwriting. So I lit a couple of candles, meditated, and literally I started writing. And these messages that came across were from different spirits. They had all different kinds of cursive, printing, whole bunch of different things. And it started really getting intense when I started drawing pictures. And I started actually drawing pictures of future events. I actually drew a car that was on fire. And literally the next day, I was driving down the thruway and there was a car on fire. I pulled over. I called 911, and the 911 operator said they already dispatched responders and that I should just leave the scene. I don't know why that I even drew that, but it happened. And right then and there, I knew something was happening. Well, this entity or whatever that I'm still communicating with actually does still follow me on a daily basis. I talk to it. I ask questions. It's very open and honest with me. It's protecting me. It tells me different things, such as like my health and different things. Also, I have been getting a lot of EVPs recently that have been warning me about that because I'm nearing 300 pounds. They said that I have to watch my weight. I should drink more water. Literally, it's almost like voices from beyond somewhere that is actually warning me about my future. Somebody's looking over me, or is it some other demonic presence that is trying to trick me into things? I don't know. Now, I don't know where I should go from this. I don't know if I should sit down and talk to a psychic. And the funniest thing is literally your show. I know I listened to your show. I was actually turned on to this show by a good friend who said I need to sit down and start a listener. Now, I listened to you guys, and literally I have to be to work in like 4 hours, and I've lost a lot of sleep and different stuff, but I don't care because I love your show so much, and it means the world to me every night that I sit down and I listen to this. And I just really would like some help or figure out what I can do. I just want to know that I'm not alone out there.
Oh, you're not. You're not at all. And there are a lot of groups. You know, as a matter of fact, if you look into holistic centers in your area, and I'm trying to think of the other names. Tim, my engineer here. Tim, what are some of the other, maybe you can go in my ear and tell me some of the other places where the sensitives will gather. I know it's a lot of them are holistic centers.
And
if I can come up with the other titles, but I would go there. There's a lot of them that are willing to start helping you. There's also a fantastic book for somebody in your position. It's called The Gift by Echo Bodine, spelled just like it sounds. Echo Bodine, Bodine. She also has a book called Still Small Voice. And it talks about these exact things, and you could start to discern what you're dealing with. And listen, if they're giving you messages of love and light and trying to watch out for you, obviously it's not a demonic trying to mess with you. You know, it would start trying to talk you into much more destructive behavior, not talking you out of destructive behavior. The other thing you might want to consider is that maybe it's just your own psyche, your own personality, screaming back at you through time, telling you what to do to take care of yourself so you don't end up in a bad place in the future. So I would examine some of those. Thank you for calling and being a part of the show with us. And God bless. I wish you nothing but health and happiness, and I hope you get some answers. But there are some great people out there and mentors you can find. Let's go wildcard line one. Don, Kent, Ohio, you're on the air.
Brother Dave, thank you so much for taking my call, and happy Sabbath.
My pleasure, Don. Thanks.
I wanted to rebuttal the guy that thought the Kennedy assassination was just conspiracy hype. How could the doctors lose the president's brain? One of the most, you know, important pieces of forensic evidence. And Lee Harvey Oswald's statement in response to the recorder or the reporter's question, did you shoot the president? Oswald stated he didn't shoot anyone. And years later, his statement was run through a specific stress analyzer that measures a very small nerve that's totally uncontrollable by the human body, that it's on the vocal cords. That statement was proven to be true. Now, we're talking about acoustics tonight. There was a patrolman's walkie-talkie conversation was recorded, and in the background, you could hear one of the rifle shots. Now, acoustic physicists did a triangulation of the position of the walkie-talkie in relation to the rifle shot, and they determined it did not occur at the seventh floor of the Texas school book, you know, repository. Now, number four, you know, if I was this guy, I wouldn't waste a minute reading the bogus Warren Commission report until they can explain why the crowd all turned in unison and pointed to the grassy knoll. Your comment.
Those are great points. That's why I said every documentary can come at it with its own slice. Even if it's Nova or Discovery or History Channel or somebody you feel that is going to be more substantial and have a more prestigious background to it, if they have an angle, if the producer or director of that documentary has their own belief, they will find the story to back their belief. In most cases, that's how documentaries are done. Very few go in open-minded to see what they find as they peel back the story. So, you know, just because it was on Nova, I don't know that I necessarily buy that makes it any more important than any other. When we talked to Judith Vary Baker here on Coast to Coast and on my show, Darkness Radio, she brought up an interesting topic. She said because of Lee's connections to the CIA and to the covert government that he was working with and that he was trying to help kill Fidel Castro, he got wind that they were going to try to assassinate Kennedy. And when he reached out to his people, they kind of shut him down, and he told Judith, he said, I'm a dead man. They're going to get me now because I, you know, they don't want this to be stopped, and I've just drawn the light to it. And he wasn't surprised at all how it went down, that he got, that's why he was the patsy for it. They knew he knew too much. They brought him in, pinned it on him, and then ended up assassinating him. That was her take. And that's really a compelling version when you look at a lot of the other evidence out there to kind of support where this is coming from. The guy, according to most reports, was somebody who was not this, you know, communist and against it. He was doing his job as he was told to do, and one of his rings, I think he was wearing the Marine ring when he was captured, and they refer to it originally as a Marine ring, and then later on just that he was wearing a silver ring. But there's a lot of inconsistencies with the way they handled Lee Harvey Oswald. So, there's obviously some type of conspiracy going on there. And
it was stated that Oswald actually liked, you know, President Kennedy. Now, they did paraffin test on his cheek and his hand, and it tested negative for gunpowder. Now, the conspiracy conspirators were able to get the record sealed for 50 years, but some of the conspiracy conspirators are still alive, and I think we should start with Daddy Bush, the only person in America who can't remember where he was on that day.
Right. You bring up a great point. Interesting stuff. Thanks a lot for calling in and being a part of the show with us this evening as well. The Kennedy assassination. Wow, look at something. Over 50 years old, people just cannot get enough of this. Is it because we're all looking for that dark underbelly, or is it because it just terrifies us, the idea that there is this shadow covert government ops that are going on around us at all times, and we just have no power at all? Let's go west of the Rockies. Paul in Seattle. We've got about 2 minutes left here. Paul, what's your story for me this evening?
Oh, hey, thanks, Dave.
Sure.
Okay, yeah, the music in the fans that you were talking about.
Uh huh.
This is the first time I heard about anybody else hearing this, but I've heard it before, and just not. It was just yesterday. I'm not making this up, and I'm trying to be funny. I was laying down, and I have a box heater going. It has white noise on it, a big humming sound. And I'm telling you the truth. I swear I heard, like, Spanish music coming from that. And I said, listen. And I saw, I listened more intently. And I said, and it's happened before. So I said, yeah, I hear that, you know. And yeah, that's a true story. And I wanted to ask you a question, Dave.
Sure.
Okay, in the Bible, in the book of Revelations, I can't quote exactly where, but Revelation, excuse me. I heard, it goes, and they gave life to the beast, and people worshiped the beast, rich, poor, you know, young, old. But I was thinking AI, like artificial intelligence, that they did something with some kind of, you know, what I've heard on Coast to Coast, you know, they do things with dreams and everything like that. And I was thinking of cloning also, like when we see the, I believe it's the Antichrist get slain, he'll rise again. Maybe that's a clone, and I'm thinking AI, artificial intelligence for the beast, when they say they gave life to the beast. And so I'll take my answer out there, and you have a good night.
Well, what is the beast? I mean, that's part of it. You know, I mean, they also admit, you know, that it was coded. A lot of what was written in the book of Revelation was coded, because at that time, you were considered a heretic, or you were considered, a danger. So if we were talking openly about Nero, or you were talking openly about, opposing any of the governments, you were in trouble. So a lot of the things that were written in code. What was the beast at the time? What was it really referring to? We don't know. All right, we're going to take our final break here for this bottom of the hour. We'll come back. We've got more of your calls to take. Stay tuned. You're listening to Coast AM with Dave Schrader. Welcome back. Thank you for spending your evening here with us. And I got to mention real quickly, holidays are coming up, folks. You got Halloween next week, Thanksgiving around the corner, Christmas. And if you're sitting at home alone wondering when you're going to meet that special someone, wonder no more. George Norrie had the foresight to put together a location where you can meet other like-minded individuals that are interested in the topics we cover here on Coast to Coast AM. ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate, they're almost at 28,000 members strong. You can join up and meet other like-minded individuals from all around the United States that like the topics we cover on Coast to Coast AM. That's already removed a huge hurdle in getting to know somebody. You already know that they're interested in the same topics. Opens up a myriad of discussions that you can have with one another. Go on, sign up, become a full-on member of ParanormalDate.com. It's time you take control of your life, take control of your love life, and meet that special person. Or maybe you'll just meet the best friend you've always been waiting to have. A lot of great people on ParanormalDate.com. Go check it out. And you can find more information about that at CoastToCoastAM.com, where you can become a Coast Insider right now. You will see why we're the best in overnight talk radio. 15 cents a day, that's what you pay when you get a one-year subscription. And that gives you 5 years of past archives. It gives you chats with George Norrie and other hosts and guests of the show. It is an amazing opportunity to be a part of a bigger community and feel like you belong. So many of our callers tonight have said they have this sense of isolation and feeling alone, and they're not sure if they're normal with what they're dealing with. Well, you are, and you're fine, and you can meet other people just like you. Go check out CoastToCoastAM.com and become part of our community, part of our world. Let's go to the phone lines. First-time caller line, Kenneth in Georgia. You're on the air.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good, Kenneth. What would you like to talk about?
First off, I'd like to make sure, just like to know that you can hear me okay.
Yes, you're coming through clear.
Okay. First off, I'd like to tell you I'm about to share something with you that I've never really shared with the only people that know about it is the people who were there. I served in Afghanistan. I was in the Marine Corps, 3rd Division, 4th Marines. And
well, thank you for serving.
I'm sorry?
I just said thank you very much for serving.
Oh, you're very welcome. The thing that, this is kind of hard to say. The first time I fired my weapon at another human being, and it was confirmed that I hit him, and that he was no longer with us. I got sick. I was really sick because I never thought that I would be. I joined the Marine Corps when I was 17, and I was in combat by the time I was 21. And I never thought that I would be in a situation like that where I would have to take a person's life.
I understand.
There are times where I'm alone, and like I'll sit outside on the porch. I do this often, and I and it's dark where I live. I live out in the country, and it's like really dark, and I like it where I live. It's peaceful and it's quiet, and I just want some peace. I got wounded, and I am now I'm a T-11 paraplegic. I was wounded in Afghanistan, but that's another story. But this was the first time I was in combat. And every time, it's like I heard a show a while back about what they call shadow people or something to that effect.
Right.
And I thought maybe that was what I was seeing, because every time I got the corner of my eye, you know how you feel like you see something out the corner of your eye? And
right.
But that person, and you look and that person's not there, but you can still see what that person has on. I can
right.
see what he has on. And I know that now I'm one, man. I've never seen a ghost. And I've never, until this guy, I don't know what it is I'm seeing with this person or with this thing, whatever it is. I'm a skeptic to the end, man. I've always have been. I don't know if it's because I'm scared or what. But I see this person, and I see him in my dreams. You know, pardon me for being so nervous.
I totally understand. Kenneth, no reason to apologize. What you did was not an easy thing to have to do. And to feel the way you do, I've never done that myself, but I can I empathize with what you had to do in a position where it was you know, and you have to watch your own back. So I understand that that's still a traumatic and rough thing to get through.
Yes, sir. And I can see his. I can see what he had on.
Mm-hmm.
I can see his. I can still see his sister. yelled at me, and I don't know what they were saying to me and everything, but after it was all over with, you know, like I said, I went, the bad thing about it was, all of my friends, all my fellow Marines and my brothers, they were congratulating me. Well, you got it over with, you did your first thing. And I was trying to be tough, and I was like, yeah, you know, clapping, you know, shaking hands and being, but when I got back and I was alone, my commanding officer saw me, and he talked to me, and, you know, but I cried like a baby, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I did. And I never told anybody about this. I never really talked to anybody about, you know, what I had to do, what I did, and my family members, all friends, and people, even people I don't know have even asked me the weirdest questions, you know, have I ever had to do that, and I can't believe that people actually asked me that question. And, you know, I'm like, I'm a Marine, what do you think our job is, you know?
Right.
But they still ask, and it bothers me because that's the first thing that comes to my mind. But I was wondering, is this person what they would consider a shadow person, or?
Well, a shadow person usually, right? A shadow person usually is just that. It's a shadow of something. You see an outline or a dark form. Usually, you don't see detail. You're seeing much more. Let me start off by telling you, Kenneth, you're not alone in dealing with what you're dealing with. And there are millions of military veterans that have returned that are dealing with the same exact situation. And it doesn't make you less of a man because you cried for taking a life. That's a horrible position to be put in for anybody. And you're more of a hero for having feelings and emotions after doing something like that than you are to just be an animal out there shooting and killing without recourse or concern. Do you have a pen and paper handy? I'd like to give you some information.
Okay.
Well, you get that, and I'm going to mention something very, very quickly. There's a program called Induced After Death Communication. Dr. Alan Botkin is a psychologist and a psychotherapist, and he has put this program together. And there's a book called Induced After Death Communication. He is helping veterans just like you deal with post-traumatic stress disorder for this exact thing. And for all the listeners out there, get a pen and paper handy. The name of the book is called Induced After Death Communication. And the author's last name is Botkin, Botkin. And do you have that pen handy, Kenneth?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. I'd like you to jot down this phone number. It's 847-680-0279. That's 847-680-0279.
Yes, sir.
And his email is very easy. Dr. for doctor, Al, A-L, 53@AOL.com. Reach out to Dr. Botkin, and I'm sure this is something that he can help you with. And if you need to get any extra help, my email is dave@darknessradio.com, and I'll do what I can to help make sure that we get you put in touch with Dr. Botkin or get a copy of the book, something that can help you out. All right?
I had one more thing I just wanted to share with you.
Certainly.
The scary thing about it was after that experience, I would protect my brothers. When we were in situations, and I've been through Fallujah, my friend, and that was horrible. That was
right.
That was something I'll never forget. As long as I'm 43 now, and that was something I'll never forget as long as I live. And after, it became easier.
Mm-hmm.
That's what scares me. It became easier. It was like, you know.
Well, we create a disconnect, and that's part of what happens. Police officers and EMTs and doctors, it doesn't make you less human. It's a coping mechanism. You're in a horrible situation dealing with death and dealing with carnage all around you. It's the way that your psyche deals with this. And that's why you're dealing with this post-traumatic stress disorder and other things. And getting help in this is the first way to step up. I congratulate you for having the strength to step up and talk about the issues that you're having. But I promise you, I've heard over the 10 years of doing Darkness Radio, I've heard from thousands of veterans that are dealing with the same thing. And I've put them off to Dr. Botkin. He can help direct you to people in your area that might be able to help you and be more effective. But Kenneth, thank you so much for serving our country, for making hard choices, for doing the job that you had to do, for the military that called you out to do the position. Thank you so much. And my heart goes out to you and your family. And please reach out to Dr. Botkin, get a copy of the book, see if you can get some help through that. And we appreciate you doing what you've done. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you very much for tuning in. And again, I want to thank Kenneth for his call and speaking to all of the military out there and law enforcement officials that have had to take a life and are dealing with this same type of thing. Just be aware that you are not alone. And I know that the darkness and depression can get to you. There are places that can help and places you can reach out. So please make sure that you take advantage of those resources. It's not weak to ask for help. That's a true sign of strength. And we appreciate the jobs that you're doing out there. It's a tough job. Thank you for being out there and protecting. Let's go wildcard line four, Anonymous in Nevada. What you got on tap for me this evening, Anonymous?
Hi, Dave. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I'm calling because there was a guest on Coast to Coast about, maybe a year or so ago, talking about Operation Caucasian. And Operation Caucasian, he claimed, well, he theorized that the CIA typically never names operations after what, or never has them named after what they're about. Well, I knew that was exactly the opposite of the truth because I studied the CIA in college, and we were always told that, yes, they name their operations after what they're about. So this guy was saying that this operation was actually the harness that was to carry the atomic bomb. Okay, that's what he was saying that this operation was about. That is not what it was about. This operation in particular was, and I'm bringing it up today because the Michael Jackson's dermatologist died today. And Michael Jackson, the dermatologist was actually his handler. And this guy was involved, he was a CIA operative, working to use drugs and chemicals to turn him white. And this operation, which was, I believe, back in the 50s, part of the reason, in fact, the reason probably, I would speculate that Betty and Barney Hill were abducted was because the CIA was, in fact, trying to ascertain how, and I say CIA because CIA slash aliens, they're the same. I mean, a big part of the CIA are ETs, but they are... they were trying to ascertain how to find the gene that turns, that creates the color, that causes a person to be black or to be white. And the goal was to turn black people white and vice versa for the purposes of cloning, replication. And so Michael Jackson was actually being used for that. And the, you know, just like Elvis had a handler, you know, a lot of our pop stars, you know, and unfortunately, I don't even know if they know it, but Michael Jackson claimed publicly that he never wanted this, you know, that he really didn't have a problem with his color, that it was just a skin disease, but that is not the case. He had, you know, in fact, it even talked about today when they announced it, the fact that this guy died, that he actually had given him some of the concoction that killed him, that this particular dermatologist was part of it. And it was just no coincidence that Michael Jackson's children were from him. And they, of course, are going to collect all the money, you know, from his estate. And he wanted them from...
Wait, they're saying that Michael Jackson's children are actually the dermatologist's children?
Oh, yeah, everybody, that was known. That's common knowledge, yeah, that Michael Jackson's children were from the dermatologist. He wanted that DNA, well, according to, you know, the stories. He wanted that DNA in his children because really he didn't want them to be black because he felt like they would be more advantaged, you know, if they were a doctor's children and white skin and the whole thing, you know. And so, and of course, Interestingly.
Wait, you lost me there. Michael thought they'd be more advantaged being the children of a white doctor?
Yeah, apparently. That's why he had them, he used his DNA. And this
wouldn't they be privileged enough being the children of the king of pop?
Well, he apparently did not like the fact that he was black. And, even though he claimed that this was not true in public, okay, he was turning, they were using chemicals on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was they were being used to get his skin lighter and lighter because they felt like that would create, he would be more popular, he would be more liked, more accepted, et cetera. He would be more, and whether or not he was actively aware of all of it, but he was definitely, this was an operation.
Okay. That's something new to me. I've never heard that before. Thank you for sharing on that. Wildcard Line 1, Vince, Charlotte, North Carolina, you're on the air.
Hey, great show. It's going great.
Thank you very much. Good. We've got about 2 minutes together. What did you want to talk about?
You asked two or three times who the beast was from Revelation.
Right.
The beast is the lamb. A lamb is a meek beast, but it's a beast nonetheless. Jesus is the beast. A man that was wounded to death, yet did live. They worshiped the beast, set up temples to the beast. Before there was Jesus, there was no Christianity. After Jesus did what he did, that's when people started to worship the lamb, the beast.
All right.
That's who the beast in the book of Revelation is now.
That's an interesting take. Thank you very much for calling in on that. Again, another one I have never heard. Let's go. Wildcard Line 2, Corey in Alabama. We have 1 minute left together. Corey, did you have a quick story for us?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I was wondering, you had a blind person on earlier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it always wondered me my whole life. I just always wondered. I was always told my whole life that you have to dream when you sleep, just like rapid eye movement when you sleep.
Sure.
Okay, so I was always told that you have to dream when you sleep. So and you had a caller on earlier, and she said she had no visuals with her kidney stuff. So
right.
What do they dream about?
I don't know. That's a fascinating question. I'd never even thought of that before, but that is a great point. If blind people do not have visual acuity and they have no markings to start with, what do they dream of and what do they experience as a dream?
What do they have? What goes on in their head? What do they dream about?
Fascinating.
What visuals or what?
Sure. Okay, well, thank you. That's a great point. I don't know. Maybe we can have a blind listener contact us on a future show and share some insight, but that does beg a very, very interesting question. Thank you all for listening to the show tonight, for spending your time with me. I'll be back again with you tomorrow night as we explore exorcism live for the first time in history, a televised exorcism on the Discovery or on Destination America channel next Friday. But we're going to discuss that tomorrow night with Chip Coffee, Christopher St. Booth. You can check out more information about the show on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you all for tuning in, spending your time with us. My name is Dave Schrader. You can find more information about me at darknessradio.com. Be safe, be kind, and love one another. And I'll be back with you again tomorrow right here on Coast to Coast AM.